I want to preach to you today something that may be very hard to receive, but we need to receive it. God's been dealing with me a lot lately that we need to be a spiritual people. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And our schedule, all of us would say we're busy, and that doubtless we are, but our schedule would indicate, if we took a look, a very long, hard, honest look, we would find we spend so much more time entertaining ourselves than we do devoting ourselves to God and to our walk with Him. And so I want to preach today, continuing on the beauty of holiness. And I believe when we have our altar call at the end of this service, someone's going to make some very drastic commitments to curb not only how much we watch, but also what we watch, so we don't contaminate who we are as a people. God is calling us above just where we are right now, and He's calling us to a level of holiness. And holiness is indeed what we wear, how we dress, how we have our hair, according to 1 Corinthians 11. But holiness is also what we allow into our eyes and what we allow into our ears. And so I want to preach today, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes. Let's just ask God to speak to us. Stay in the spirit of prayer. If you want to pray throughout this message, go ahead. But let's stay in the spirit of prayer and ask the Lord to speak to us today. God, I thank You for the honor to be able to preach Your Word and what You've laid on my heart so very heavily. Help us to be a people of devotion. Help us, God, I pray. Help us to give ourselves to devotion. Help us to give ourselves to the will of God and the work of God, I pray. Help us, Lord, with what and how much we watch. Lord, help us to be a holy people in all manner of conversation and conduct and all manner of what we allow to entertain us, both what we see and what we hear. Help us, I pray today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to read to you. You don't have to stand. I want to read to you from Genesis 13, verse 8. Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and my herdmen and your herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray. If you will take the left, I'll go to the right, and if you take the right, I'll take the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come unto Zoar. And then Lot chose all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from each other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so if a man can number the dust of the earth, so shall your seed be numbered." Abram must have felt a little bit strange when Almighty God told him he's going to be the father of many nations. Go ahead, Abram, take a look around and try to count the stars that blink in the night sky. You can't count them, can you? Your children and children's children and children's children's children are going to number higher than the stars. Walk your sandals along the sandy shores and pick up the grains of sand in your hand and count each grain and see how high you can count. You can't count them, can you? Well, your children and children's children and children's children's children are going to number higher than the grains of sand. I'll give you so many generations. Your multiplied millions of sons will bless the entire world. But God, there's one minor problem. I don't have one son. I'm 75 years old. She's catching up with me. We don't have one single solitary son. For some reason, known only to God, Sarai could not carry a son to birth. So Abram thought, you better make that promise to a guy who's already got a little league at his house. You've got a great plan, but you've got the wrong person. But God made a promise, and God always keeps His promises. But Abram did have a nephew. His brother Haran sired a son named Lot, but soon after he had his son, Haran passed away, and now Lot has no dad, and Abram has no son. They were meant for each other. Doubtless Abram hugged Lot at the funeral for his dad, and maybe Lot asked Abram to help him with his homework. And so when God spoke to Abram and told him to get up and get out of his hometown and start walking, Abram and Sarai rounded up Lot and his family, and they brought them along. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a road trip with Uncle Abe. Except they didn't know where they were going. They just knew God told them to walk, so they started walking. And as they went, their herds were growing, and their herdsmen were growing tired of each other. So much for the little fun family road trip. Now everybody's on each other's nerves. And Abram came up with a genius answer. He said, we can't stay together like this. We're going to kill each other. Literally. So, Lot, why don't you take a look? And if you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. And if you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. And the scripture says, Lot lifted up his eyes and looked around, and he saw well-watered plains, lush green grass, tall enough to feed all of his herds with blades to spare. He saw water everywhere. It was perfect. He thought of the gardens he would plant, the houses he would build, businesses he would open. And they say real estate is all about location, location, location. Well, there was no better location than that fertile, well-watered plain in the Jordan Valley. So Lot said, I'll go this way. And Uncle Abe said, okay, then I will go this way. Life was turning up roses and lilies for Lot. We don't know how long he was in those well-watered plains, but as far as he knew, he had moved there to stay. They started unpacking their things and gathered some wood for a fire and started to set up the tent. And Lot looked a little ways away and he noticed a large city just on the other side of that valley. And Lot probably asked some people around him, what do they call that place anyway? And he squinted to take a look at the sign that would indicate his neighbor next door, neighbor city. And the sign read, Sodom. And according to Genesis 13, Lot set up his tent to face the city of Sodom. Sodom was not a family-friendly city. TripAdvisor would not advise you to take your family there for a vacation. Because Sodom was wicked. It was violent. It was vile. It was vulgar. Nobody left any light on for anybody in Sodom. There was no hospitality in Sodom. Sodom was brimming with sin, especially sexual sin. It was one of the original sin cities. It was an early version of our Vegas. But early morning when Lot woke up and went outside, he looked toward Sodom. He stood there just outside his tent flap, took a sip of bad coffee and looked across the valley, the smoke rising from the city of Sodom. He might have been close enough to hear the commotion coming from Sodom. Maybe even saw a few fugitives running for their lives from their ill-intended weapon-wielding captors as they gave chase. Sodom was sinful for so many reasons. You find it in the scripture. But one of their most depraved sins in Sodom was homosexuality. And Lot was watching what was happening in Sodom every single day. Now I understand there are little eyes and little ears in here, so I'm going to keep this clean. And yet I need to make a statement today the church needs to make. And that is homosexuality has never been and never will be the will of God. From the very beginning, God intended each romantic relationship to be between one man and one woman. And every marriage to be between one man and one woman for life. Regardless of who defines it any other way, the definition of marriage has been, is, and will always be a man and a woman for life. Homosexuality is clearly defined in Scripture as sin, but it's not an unforgivable sin. There is forgiveness and there is redemption for every sinner of every sin. No matter how high we rank it, no matter how low we rank it, there is forgiveness and redemption. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough and His mercy reaches far enough to cover every sinner of every sin. Thank God for His precious blood. And here is where our day intersects with Lot's day. As Christians, we must be very careful what we look at and what we watch, especially every day. Every day, Lot's tent is pitched toward Sodom. Every day, he's being desensitized by what he sees. Every day, he's wondering if that's really a sin or if it's really okay. The most recent report counts over 40 LGBTQ characters on primetime TV, which is an all-time high, and that number is rising. That makes only 4% of the characters who are on primetime are a part of the LGBTQ movement or portrayed as such. But there is a very focused movement. Make no mistake, it's a very focused and even militant movement, not violent with weapons, but violent with their agenda. To keep raising that number higher until we not only tolerate it, but accept it, and God forbid, even practice it. One survey discovered 20% of millennials identify as anything other than straight. Did you hear that number? 20% of millennials identify as anything other than straight. We must be very careful what we watch. Be very careful, little eyes, what you see. Now, there's nothing sinful with a TV. We've got two in the lobbies. We've got one in every Sunday school classroom. There's nothing sinful with a TV. If you have one at home or you have one on your phone or you have one on your tablet, be very careful what you watch. God is calling His people to come out from among this world and be separate, which includes what entertains us. Be very careful, little eyes, what you see. And if you have little eyes in your home, listen to this staggering fact. They are likely to see your children before they graduate from elementary to middle are likely to see 8,000 murders by the time they go to middle school. Be very careful, parents, what you allow your children to watch, what you allow them to see. Please don't just throw them into a room and shut the door and say, watch whatever you want to watch, to stay quiet and out of my hair. Please invest yourself in what your children are watching and what they're seeing. Get a filter on your phone. Get a filter on their tablet. Do something to make sure they're not seeing things where they lose their innocence that they're way too young to lose. And they're going to see a lot of scenes in their life they cannot unsee. Be careful what you see. Moms and dads, I'm going to help you out. I may lose some of our kids along the way, but that's okay. When you get home, you need to take a look at through your kids' video games, your PS4, Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS3. And if those video games have an M for mature on the front of them, you need to take those games away. That means the rating board said the violence and the bloodshed and the language and the vulgarity and the sexual content and the drug references are so prominent in that game that only a mature 17-year-old to an adult should be playing that game. If you've got a 12-year-old playing a game with an M on the front for mature, that 12-year-old does not need to be playing that game. You need, as a parent, to take that game out of there and say, no, you're not nigh old enough. You're not nigh mature enough to play this game without it affecting who you are and what you start to tolerate, accept, and God forbid, practice. And while we're on ratings, if you've got movies in your home that are rated R, unless you've got a filtering system that helps clean them up, you need to take them out of your DVD case or off your playlist, with very few exceptions. If Hollywood thought them violent or vulgar enough to say these are restricted, there's so much sensual content and vulgar and violent content in this movie, we should see that as Christians as a red flag that says, that's not something I need to see. I don't care if every guy at work sees it. I don't care if every girl at work sees it. I don't care if every guy or girl at school has seen the movie and is quoting the lines. As Christians, there are some things we just ought not see, because some things you just cannot unsee once you have seen them. In Genesis 13, Lot set up his tent and it was facing Sodom. But in Genesis 14, Lot bought a house in Sodom. We know that because an alliance of kings, including Sodom, or an alliance of kings, came against an alliance of kings with Sodom. And the second, or the first alliance, won. And they found Lot, and they snatched him up as a prisoner of war and carried him off. This is Abram's nephew, possibly Abram. In his mind, he was going to be the heir. Maybe God was going to allow him to be the heir to Abram. And so, this is the one, the guy who was raised in church, raised on a pew, lived for God, third, second generation Pentecostal. And he's living in Sodom. Now, I don't believe just because you watch violence, you will become violent. But be careful what we watch, lest what we watch changes what we believe. The more immorality we see, the more we will wonder if God even cares in 2017 about immorality anymore. The more violence we see, we'll wonder if God even cares about violence anymore. The more sensual content we see, we'll wonder if maybe this black book is just a little bit outdated and we play by different rules in our day, and we'll start to wonder. Well, let me tell you, God still cares about morality. God still cares about senseless violence. God still cares about young people especially maintaining their innocence and giving themselves to one another as pure at an altar of marriage. I still remember the day we got the satellite dish working at home. I was in my early teens and we finally got that massive dish to work. It was so large, massive, out in the backyard. So I wonder we didn't have 747s landing in our driveway. And I've always been a sports fan, so I'm flipping through the channels, and there are more channels than I can count. And I'm flipping, and I found a game on, and I watched a baseball game or football game, whatever it was. And when it was over, 3 hours later, I flipped to another channel. I watched another game. I'm ashamed how many multiplied hours, even days, I spent watching one game after another. It got so bad one season, all the baseball games, all the football games were over. I started watching Australian rules football. I didn't even know there was such a thing as Australian rules football. And quite honestly, after watching one game, there should not be such a thing as Australian rules football. But I was addicted to just watching something, entertain me. I have no idea how much of my life I lost in my teen years when I could have been doing something so more productive. I could have been outside playing. I could have been helping inside. I could have been reading a book, reading the Bible, studying for the exams, or cleaning my room, or doing homework, or memorizing my Bible quizzing. Sorry, Brother Sister Hines. Could have been talking to God. Should have been talking to God. Could have been talking to friends. Could have been going on outreach. I lost so much of my life watching 1 hour after another. And then I read this and I was shocked. If we live to be 65 years old, according to one survey, we will spend 9 years of our life just watching TV. 9 years. God help us to be careful not only what we watch, but how much we watch. While Lot was languishing in a POW camp, Abram's over there building altars and talking with God, and God's over there talking with Abram. And Abram is getting closer to God, and God is getting closer to Abram. You see, Abram is looking at things differently because Abram is looking at different things. Abram's looking around at the surrounding countryside, and God's speaking to him because Abram's listening. And God's saying, you see all of that? I'm going to give that to you and your descendants. You see all of that? Go ahead, Abram, just walk over it. Walk with the heels of your sandals. Walk on that ground, and I'm going to give that ground to you and to your seed. Well, Abram is looking at different things. That's how he's able to look at things differently. He still didn't have a son, but God was still promising him more sons than stars. Abram spent his time with God, and God blessed Abram for it. If you come to church and you envy somebody's walk with God and their worship, and you just can't seem to get close to God, you should ask them how much time they spend with Him compared to how much time they spend with media. Remember our media fast a few Januaries ago? It was stunning when we realized how much time we really do have and how much time we really do waste watching one screen after another. Somebody escaped from that camp and ran to tell Abram. He told him all about his nephew who had been taken as a POW, and Abram mounted a small army. They freed Lot and his buddies. So after that close shave with death, you would think Lot would have learned his lesson. Better stick with Uncle Abe, because Uncle Abe sticks with God, and God sticks with Uncle Abe. But 5 chapters later in Genesis, we find Lot right back where he came from, right back in Sodom. And 2 angels came from God to destroy Sodom because God could not find 10 righteous people in that entire city. When they arrived, the men of the city tried to violate them, but God protected them, and God got Lot and his family up and out of Sodom before he rained down judgment to destroy it. And as they're running out of town, dodging fire and brimstone, Lot's wife needed just one last look. It's intriguing to me how all of this begins with Lot's one look toward Sodom. And it ends with Lot's wife's one last longing look back at Sodom. She turned around just in time to see that fire and brimstone fall. And the scripture tells us she became a pillar of salt. Whether that means she just died right there and salt later covered her from the sulfur and the fire and brimstone, or maybe she was collateral damage to some of that fire and brimstone that fell and it killed her right there. One way or another, she is memorialized in the Dead Sea Valley, a valley in the Middle East where no life grows. She is memorialized, and Jesus even says it in the Gospels, to remember Lot's wife. For the sake of our service here today, I would say she is memorialized with that one last longing look. To be very careful, little eyes, what we see. Would you stand with me? Because I feel so very strongly, the Holy Ghost is calling us to. Abram was constantly looking for what God has to offer. And Lot was constantly looking to what this world has to offer. And here's how it ends up when you look at what he has to offer. And here's how it ends up when you look at what the world has to offer. Abram ends up as Abraham, the father of the faithful, the friend of God, and the one who has more descendants than there are sand on the sea. Because Abram's devotion to God was his priority. But Lot ends up a depressed widower who fathers 2 sons by his own daughters. Because Lot was constantly looking at what does this world have to offer. I don't find Lot ever built one altar. Let me just say this. This is not the only place you build an altar. Your home is the first place you build an altar. And then you bring that relationship with God here, and you keep building altars here. God is calling us today. We felt it during worship service. God is calling us back to holiness. He's calling us to make our devotion our priority again. He's calling us, I believe firmly, to turn off as many screens as we need to, for as long as we need to make sure we're spending time with Him first. If you normally get up in the morning and you turn on the news, I'm challenging you to change your habits. Get up in the morning and have your devotion first. First of all, the news is probably just going to depress you. There's very little you can do about what's going on in the world except pray. And so why not pray first and ask the Lord for His help? If you normally come home from work and you plop down on the couch and you kick your feet up, ask yourself before you grab the remote or before you grab your phone or before you grab your tablet or iPad or go on Netflix or Hulu or any of those things, ask yourself, before I turn on this screen, have I prayed today? And if you can't answer yes, leave that off. Get down on your knees. Say, God, You're still number one in my life. I'm going to devote myself to You. Before I entertain myself by just watching something, I'm going to spend some time with You and spend time in prayer. I challenge you this week to keep a journal of how much time you spend watching TV or movies or playing an app or another. None of those are going to make an eternal difference. Before you turn on something just for entertainment, devote yourself to devotion. I want to see the power of God in our church. I want to see the power of God in our city. Before you watch the game, before you watch the game show, take inventory of your spiritual life. And ask yourself, if I've not spent time with God today, this goes for our children as well. If I've not spent time with God today, I'm going to spend time with Him right now before I turn on the screen. I believe God's going to do something in our lives personally and then corporately as a church as He draws us back to holiness. And as Bishop said a little bit ago, as He draws us back to where He, once again, is our passion. If that's your desire, if that's your passion, would you come and just stand around this altar today and make some very pointed and honest and even difficult commitments to the Lord? It could be something as simple as, Lord, before I turn my phone on, except to check the time or maybe just to turn off the alarm. Before I go on social media or before I watch Netflix or turn on the TV, I'm going to spend time in devotion. I'm going to spend time with You. I'm going to spend more time in prayer in the morning and less time entertaining myself, more time at night just talking with You, having a family altar where as a family we devote ourselves to prayer and study of the Word of God where we draw closer. God, if I've got some things in my life I've been watching or am watching some series or some episodes or maybe I've just been binge watching and I've not spent any time in the Word or in prayer, God, I'm going to curb all of that and I'm going to spend some time with You. I want to be holy. I want to be holy as You are holy. Help us, Lord, to be a holy people. Help us, God, to have that hunger once again in our hearts for You more than anything else. That hunger in my soul to get alone with You, Lord. To spend time with You. I don't want to waste my life. I want to do something with my life that will make an eternal difference. Help me, Lord, with what I watch and how much of it. May my habits be pleasing to You, God, honoring to You, Lord. Today, God, as a church. Help us today, God, to make some very real and honest commitments to You, to devote ourselves to You afresh and new, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. I love you. Help us today, God. Help us to be a holy people. Help us to be a holy people. You called us to be holy as you are holy. Help us, O Lord, raise up fathers who will be examples to their sons of what it means to be a godly man. Mothers to their daughters of what it means to be a godly woman. Help us, Lord, as a church to be an example to the world of what it means to be called out and set, dedicated unto you. Jesus, I pray. I do believe you have so much more for us, but I feel today you're calling us to more and deeper prayer.